So we haven't talked sports in a while, but there's a lot happening with our local teams. So checking in once again is Emmy Award-winning sports reporter for Bay News 9 and host of Spectrum Sports 360, Mike Cairns. Mike, thanks for jumping on for a few minutes. I wanted to recap the NFL draft and get your thoughts on the Bucs picks. Now, this is a Super Bowl winning team returning literally all their starters. So it's not like they had major holes to fill, but what did they do in the draft that stood out to you?
Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. This was an unprecedented draft, really, for the NFL, because as you mentioned, for the first time ever, the Super Bowl champ, the defending Super Bowl champ, returned all 22 starters from that Super Bowl team. So the Bucs went into this draft not with need, more strength, because right. It was building depth. So they got everybody back. So the guys they got, you got to think, are guys that they're going to be able to work with in transition and add to the depth of certain positions going in. Now, going into the draft, the Bucs didn't really have very many needs, and they operated from a position of strength. I think the linebacker, I think, trying out of Washington, it was a great pick. I really loved the Kyle Trask pick. That was my favorite pick of the draft, and getting him in the second round, I think, was tremendous. And I also like K.J. Britt, the linebacker out of Auburn, in the fifth round. But after that, it's unknown, Ryan, because here's how you have to look at it. Remember, because of COVID last year, a lot of these players opted out of college. So you have to trust the tape from 2 years ago. So you got to think, okay, the guys you drafted in the first two rounds, maybe the first three rounds, are legitimate first three-round picks. But what about that guy you got fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh this year?
Yeah.
Is he really? I mean, because the draft was diluted, was that fourth rounder this year maybe really a sixth rounder? But you really didn't have a lot to operate on other than tape you've seen from 2 years ago. So this was an unknown draft for a lot of teams. So for the Bucs to go in, knowing that their team is set and they were just trying to build depth, they had the head start on 31 other teams, maybe to include the Chiefs. But this was a draft where you can't say, oh, wow, they A+, A, they got, they didn't need to get a draft grade.
Yeah.
They just needed to build depth, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, I mean, this team is just in such a good position. They drafted a linebacker who gets to learn from Shaq Barrett and JPP, a receiver who gets to learn from Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown, a lineman who isn't under immediate pressure to jump right in and protect the GOAT. And then, of course, they get a quarterback who gets to learn from Tom Brady in Kyle Trask. He plays at Florida. He gets to stay in state and now play for the Bucs. Just a lot of great situations for these young players.
Yeah, and he's a Tom Brady-style quarterback
yeah.
because he's a pocket passer. Big arm, you know, great reads, that kind of thing. He's not mobile at all. He can dance around. He can work with the pocket like Tom Brady, but learning from a guy like Brady. And he's not a guy known for developing quarterbacks. No. He's made that known. He's not. If Trask goes to work and picks his brain, it's not like Tom Brady is going to say no and not help him because they're teammates. But, you know, Brady knows that he's potentially grooming a kid who could take his position in 2 years, maybe three, depending on whether Brady wants to give it another go after two more years. I don't know. The way he looks now, he looks pretty good. So
yeah.
I think, you know, the book on Brady is he's not, and he's admitted it, he's not there to develop. It's behind him. But I think Trask is a very smart kid, a very good quarterback. I was just saying to people around me that that's the guy that I really wanted the Bucs to get because we made predictions that were out there on Twitter. I predicted they would get either ATN would be my first round pick for the Bucs, and I thought they have a chance to get to Kyle Trask in the second round. So not that they needed an ATN, but again, you're good for this year, but then a lot of these guys are on 1 year contracts,
mm-hmm.
you know, Antonio Brown, Leonard Fournette, because a lot of these guys are one with an option.
Yeah.
So you're good for next year, but you do have to think ahead. And then you got to think next year's draft is going to be a full draft where You're not going to worry about kids opting out. This is going to be a full college football season coming up, and it's going to be a stacked draft in 2022. So I think right now, if you look at what the Bucs did the last 4 days, they set themselves up to add depth and now be able to bring along kids that they think would fit perfectly in their offensive and defensive system. So I think the sky's the limit for quite a few of these picks they got.
And I wonder if on this final stretch of his career, if Tom Brady does a little more mentoring than maybe he has in the past. Seems like he's having a good time. Seems like he loves the team and the organization here in Tampa Bay. And I wonder if, you know, Kyle Trask is there picking his brain, if he offers a little bit more help than maybe he had in the past.
I think that's a good point. I think it is. When you know you're getting near the end of your career, you want to pay it forward somehow. And if Tom Brady, you know, for what the Bucs did for him, if Tom Brady's way of signing off and riding off into the sunset in a couple of years is to groom a quarterback that the Bucs could have for the next 10 years, that would be the best thing that he could do for him.
I'm joined by Emmy Award-winning sports anchor for Bay News 9 and host of Spectrum Sports 360, Mike Cairns, recapping the Bucs draft. And, you know, we talked a lot about leading up to the Super Bowl and then after the Super Bowl, the Brady effect on the organization, just that belief that the players and the coaches and everybody had that they could do it because Tom Brady was in their corner. Clearly, that same effect played a massive role, if not the key role, in keeping all 22 starters and every major reserve intact for this upcoming season.
100%, right? 100%. Because when you've won a Super Bowl, how many times have you seen those guys say, okay, I won a Super Bowl, now I want to get paid. I want to get paid, but I'm worth. And they go off into the free agent and they score big deals. But you know what? The Bucs had Tom Brady coming back, who's the greatest quarterback in the history of the game. And he looks great. He had some minor scope knee surgery in the offseason, which was no big deal, was just to clean up some loose stuff. And all of those players that came back, all of them wanted to come back and play for him because they realized, you know what? I could go out and get paid and play for a team that's going to win 6 or 7 games, maybe make the playoffs, or I can go back on a 1-year deal, play for a chance to win back-to-back Super Bowls, and then get paid. And that's what a lot of those guys did.
And what about the division? Because I think the Bucs are going to have a really good regular season, better than they did last year, assuming all the key players stay healthy, mainly Tom Brady, just because they've been together. They've got some time working together under their belt now. But in terms of the division, because that's certainly going to be a goal of the Bucs, they're going to want to win the division. What did you see from the other teams, their competition in this draft?
Boy, and that's tough, too, because when you look at the division, the only other established quarterback is really Matt Ryan. And with the weapons, I mean, they went out and they got Kyle Pitts. I mean, what a great pick by Atlanta. If they don't trade Julio Jones, their offense is as potent as the Bucs because you got Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, and Kyle Pitts. I mean, are you kidding me? That's a pretty potent offense. And Matt Ryan still has a lot of gas left in the tank. I think that, to me, will be the team that would challenge the Bucs the most. And historically, the Bucs have played well against the Falcons within the division. I think that would be their biggest challenge if I could look ahead. I think number two would be the Saints, but I just don't know what Jameis is going to do. If it is going to be Jameis and Taysom Hill is going to be his backup, We saw what Jameis did here, throwing 30 picks in a year. Has he learned? He's certainly got weapons. The Saints are loaded, no question. So I don't know about that. I expect Sam Darnold to have a better year with Carolina than he did with the Jets. I think Carolina's got some more established guys than the Jets. I think they have less holes. I think they have a better offensive line. So if I had to stack up the division, to me, it would be Bucs. Atlanta, Saints are right there. Carolina, still, I think they're going to be the team that's going to be fourth. And I think it's all because, once again, the Tom Brady factor. You're starting the season with Brady coming off the Super Bowl with his entire team back. And the over-under on wins is 12. That's what the Vegas sportsbooks put out. So they think the Bucs are going to be a, you know, remember there's an extra there's an extra game to play as well. So I think these Bucks are going to win 12, 13 games, go like 13 and 4 or 12 and 5 or something. Like, I can't see them losing five games.
I'd honestly take the over on 12 because I just don't know who in the NFC. You've got some teams out west maybe, but there's no other team that you're looking at. Like, if you were in the AFC, you would say, okay, you've got Kansas City, you've got Baltimore, you know, all these teams, pretty solid competition. But in the NFC, I don't know, a lot of people love Green Bay, but Aaron Rodgers don't seem to be happy at all in Green Bay. Yeah. Is that going to create a problem? I mean, I don't know. I think the Bucs are in a damn good place going into this season.
I do, too. I agree with you 100%. Out of the NFC, I mean, I look to the Rams. I like the Rams in the NFC, but the Rams have, I mean, defensively, the Rams are off the charts. But the Rams have a lot of injuries on offense coming back. They've got a lot of weapons as well. But do I think they have enough to beat the Bucs in an NFC championship game? No, I do not. I don't. So I think you're right. And even with Seattle, with Russell Wilson, had a bad year last year.
Yeah.
You don't know what the heck Seattle's coming off of. You mentioned the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and the Packers didn't do anything to address any help for Aaron Rodgers.
No.
I mean, you would think they would have went out and got a wide receiver at least, which was a strength in this draft. There was loaded with, I mean, look. You can even go down and say, you know, where the last wide receiver was picked, there was still value in the 20s when I think the Pack were like 26 or something like that, 27. I don't remember. So they didn't do anything to help Aaron Rodgers. And I kind of find that to me is like a telling sign that if you don't do anything to provide, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback with the weapons he needs.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have enough to challenge again for the NFC Championship and a disgruntled Aaron Rodgers? I don't know. I think the NFC is so diluted after the Bucs, and I think the Packers will be definitely a playoff team, and I think the Rams will be a playoff team. Now, outside of that, gosh, you throw your hands up and go, you know, close your eyes and kind of go, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, which is going to be. And there's always surprises. We know that.
And I can't stress this enough. Brady wants another one. He is going to be the driving force behind this team. And last year was a weird year. Now, this year is not going to be totally normal, but it's going to be much more normal than last year. So you've got a team that they obviously really started gelling in the home stretch. They won the Super Bowl. They have the confidence. They're going to be more familiar with each other. They're all coming back. That's a recipe for success. I mean, repeating ain't easy in the NFL, but they've got as good of a shot as anyone to do it.
For sure. And the NFL is going to be more structured this year.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, there's still going to be some virtual meetings, but they're going to actually have more time on the field in the preseason than they did last year. Because remember, they did all their meetings were virtual. And Brady was going over to Berkeley Prep with the guys having, you know, waiting until the NFL shut it down, having – you know, guys get together. But you mentioned it. He's already got a year under his belt with all the same guys coming back. He's not relearning a new system.
And O.J. Howard's coming back.
Like, you know, he's got all of his powers and his weapons.
He's
what they call plug and play. So good luck to the rest of the NFC, let alone the NFL. This guy is all pumped up and ready to go. I think the Bucs are going to be certainly a dangerous team, and I put them. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Bucs and Chiefs again. But the AFC, I think, has a little more competition than the NFC does right now.
Yeah, if I were making the odds, I don't know how you don't put the Bucs as the favorites to repeat, even though it's obviously very difficult to do in the NFL. I'm joined by Mike Cairns, Emmy Award-winning sports anchor for Bay News 9 and host of Spectrum Sports 360. Now, let's talk about the other Tampa team looking to defend their title. That would be the Tampa Bay Lightning getting ready to head into the playoffs. Hasn't been the greatest final stretch for the Lightning, but is it just that you have a team, they're always there year in and year out, and once they get to the playoffs, that switch gets turned on? I mean, is that what maybe you're expecting from the Lightning this year?
Yeah, I am. I mean, and hopefully that's the case.
Yeah.
Because John Cooper, in the last few weeks, you know, they don't want to talk about repeating. They all want to make it clear this is a totally different team, even though it's not. There are a couple new faces. You know, the David Savard deal that they picked up late. So, yeah, there's a couple of new faces on this team. But for the most part, they're all back. Their three lines are as solid, if not the best top three lines in the NHL. But this year, their run to the division was a lot tougher because Florida's a very good team. Carolina's a very good team. And they had problems with Carolina in Florida as well. So I think it's going to be the first round, okay, they'll get by. But I think the division championship is going to be much tougher and a much tougher road this year for them because the conference is so much better. I think last year there was a big division between the Lightning and the rest of the conference. I don't see that division this year.
What do you see the Lightning doing in the final two games of the season going up against the Florida Panthers? Is that a situation where if you're the Lightning, you want to take it to them in those last two games and go in beating a top team in your conference? Or is that one where you could potentially see both teams kind of taking it off and easing off the gas a little bit, knowing that, you know, the playoffs are right around the corner?
I say show them nothing. It's to the point where you've played them enough. And you've had back-to-back games against what the NHL hasn't done ever, had back-to-back games against the same team. But because of COVID and the fact that they had to get these games in on time, they have the playoffs on time, teams had to play 2-3 games in a row. And a lot of times, they had several times during the season where they played the same team twice. So you were able to make adjustments immediately, just like a playoff, just like a 5-game series. You're able to adjust, and that's what the Lightning were able to do, and the Panthers were able to do, and Carolina was able to do. So my standpoint, I show them nothing. I treat it as a fourth preseason game in the NFL. Yeah. Show them nothing. Go out there, get your work in. I would even take it easy on the ice time on guys like Victor Hedman, Andre Palat, guys like that who have logged big minutes, Andre Vasilevsky. I don't even play Vasi until maybe one game of the final two just to keep them sharp going into the playoffs. But I show them nothing, Ryan. Absolutely. I think they're ready. I think they know the guys, who they have to beat, and they know them well enough and what they have to do. So now it's get through the final two games healthy and get ready for the long run to the Cup.
Yeah, I think maybe if you're the Florida Panthers, if you think that's going to add a little bit of confidence, a little momentum going into the playoffs, maybe you go all out. But when you're the Tampa Bay Lightning, you're the defending Stanley Cup champions, you've been there, you've done that, you know what it's going to take in the playoffs to make it through, especially coming off a year where they went so deep all the way to the Stanley Cup finals. I think you're right. Probably best for them to just ease off the gas there and start focusing on the first round of the playoffs.
I think you see Cooper start to tinker with different line combinations using his younger guys like Barry Boulay and guys like that who played well when they were called up. I could see Coop taking guys like that and start to insert them with different combinations and in different lines, whether it be the first line, second line, third line, because they're going to need that depth in the playoffs. So there's certain guys that he's paired that play really well together, like Savard and Hedman. And I can see him doing that with these younger players to figure out, okay, we definitely need depth in the playoffs, and where do these guys best fit in because you're playing shorter series and the decisions you make mean much more than they did during the regular season.
Emmy Award-winning sports anchor for Bay News 9 and host of Spectrum Sports 360, Mike Cairns, who, of course, you can follow on Twitter at MikeCairns5. Mike, always appreciate the time. Still, you know, an exciting time to be talking Tampa Bay sports with one team about to enter the playoffs in an attempt to repeat as champions and another team making moves in the offseason to get themselves ready for a run at a repeat.
Oh, this is the best time. And you and I being big hockey fans, the NHL playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
My all-time favorite. There's just nothing like him. I'm sorry. When it gets down to it, every game, every minute of every game is just exciting. So to be able to sit back and try to watch the Lightning repeat is just going to be phenomenal. I'm just like, hurry up and get these last two regular season games over. Yeah. And let's get in and let's get to work.
All right. Thanks again for the time, Mike. Always appreciate it.
Anytime, bud.